And now, reading and writing and radio.
Naomi had discovered that laughing and smiling a lot kept your mind away from bad things like death. So she had smiled a lot lately. Naomi wasn't the only one around the house who smiled. Grace had smiled her head off for over 2 months now, and Mom was about as bad. Mom had gotten her wish, and Grace had married Lenny. Grace was 14, drawing near to 15, when they had the wedding. Dad took them all in the pickup to Arkansas, because Missouri law said that Grace had to be 15. Grace said it didn't matter how young she was now. In 20 years, who'd ask questions anyway? At one point in the getting ready part of the wedding, Mom had gotten mad at Naomi, and along with her other shouting had said, "See, looks don't count. A man's looks for a woman who can manage. That's what he looks for. Grace has got her man, didn't she? And her not much older than Wilma when she came to Mooch office." But looks did count. Grace had started looking beautiful as soon as she knew that Lenny had eyes just for her. Grace still looked kind of pretty in the face and eyes. It was funny that Mom didn't see it, too. Once again, Naomi wondered if Mom had ever been pretty.
Today on Reading and Writing and Radio, we're doing something different. We're having an interview. Bernice Rabe, who is the author of Naomi and Rass and her latest book, The Girl Who Had No Name, is here in town, and she has just read the opener, and I thought that it would be interesting for you and for me, too, to hear Bernice's views on writing and where she gets her material and see what suggestions that she has for your writing. So at this point, I would like to say, welcome, Bernice Rabe, and I'm glad to have you here in the studio.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Jackie.
I met Bernice last year, and as she said when she gave me one of her books and wrote on the inside, we were kin before we met. And I feel this way about her as if I've known her for a long time. And I think that if you read Bernice's books, that you will feel that way too. Well, let's start out with some questions, Bernice, and tell us about the opener that you just read. Where did you get your material for that? Grace is getting married at 14, and Naomi wondering if her mother had ever been pretty and about how looks don't count and so forth. What made you think up this story in this setting?
Well, in the first place, girls did get married at 14. Not a lot, but at 15, it was fairly common, and at 16, very common for girls to be married. And some of the more...
Well, was this when you were a kid?
This is when I was a child, way back in the 30s, in southeast Missouri. But a mother had the attitude, just as your mother would have the attitude if you graduated from school early. She was proud. And when a girl's very... existence depended on marriage. If she married early, there were some mothers who were not unhappy about this at all. Now, there were some mothers who thought differently. I want you to know that. But there were mothers who were so concerned with survival that early marriage to them was a triumph. And this is the way Mom felt about Grace. This is why Mom was happy and smiling, because Grace had made it. She had gotten herself a man, and now Mom did not have to worry about her foraging for food or having to mooch off of relatives or something like this, like old maids had to do.
Well, now, you grew up in a large family. Did your stepmother have the attitude that you say here to get you married off and your sisters and so forth?
Some of my sisters married very young, and I had no inclination to do that. But you see, I had other influences in my life other than my stepmother. I had teachers, and I had friends who talked to me. I had sisters who were much older than me, who had gone away to a different culture and who had new ideas. And they discouraged this very early marriage. But yes, it would have pleased my stepmother had I married this young.
Mm-hmm. Well, is the background then for Naomi and Rass and The Girl Who Had No Name your own countryside, your
yes.
own experiences on the whole?
Yes. Everything that's in the book is authentic. That doesn't mean that it actually happened. It means that in the culture in which I lived, it could have happened, or maybe it did happen. And I took little bits of things that did happen, and I wove stories around them. And some of the things which I kind of made happen really could have happened, though, if the right situation had been there. So it's a very honest book.
When you have things happening, do you have them happen to the person they happen to when you use actual happenings, or say Naomi, if we figure roughly that Naomi is you, did everything that happened to Naomi actually happen, or did you see what I'm driving at?
I see what you're driving at. You're trying to make me say, too, that Naomi was me. And a lot of critics and reviewers try this on me. In fact, one reviewer said, this is autobiographical. I don't care what Bernice says. But, yes, if you wish, the author, of course, is everybody in the story. I know the heart and the mind of all my characters. And certainly, since Naomi is the lead character, then it's all right if you want to say that about me, because I know her heart and mind very, very well. And some things happened to Naomi that happened to me. Some things happened to Naomi that I never experienced. Would you like me to tell you about one of them?
Yeah, please.
All right. For instance, a very dramatic scene in the book is where Naomi gets bitten by a water, his Aunt Wilma was bitten by a water moccasin and died. And Naomi is afraid of death because of this terrible fortune teller who said that she's going to die before she's 14. And Naomi was the spitten image of Aunt Wilma, and now, wouldn't you know it, Naomi gets snake bit too by a copperhead. But a copperhead's a killer. And Naomi is terribly frightened, and she knows she's dead before she even starts running. She knows she's dead because certainly it had been proven that Aunt Wilma could die from a snake bite. And things are very, very tense. And Dad takes her and stretches her out on the old plank porch and has each one of the brothers hold down a leg or an arm. And he takes his straight-edge razor and he cuts and makes the gashes in her legs so that they can draw out the snake venom, or at least try to. Didn't work on Aunt Wilma. But when someone gets desperate, they try things, even things that don't work, things that have been proven that don't work. And Dad was trying this. Well, I described this entire scene, this terrible snake bite scene, and yet I had never been bitten by a snake myself. Now, how did I have a right to do that? Well, sometimes if you haven't had the experience yourself and yet you want to speak about it as if it were very real, if you know someone who's had that experience and you just know it almost as if it's you, then you have a right to write about it. Now, my sister had been bitten by a copperhead, but I hadn't been close enough to her to know how one feels when they're held to a porch and how they feel when without the help of any anesthetic they're cut on. But I knew that from another source. When I was a child, I was bouncing on a bed and had a needle embedded in my hip, and it abscessed. Now, in those days, we were too poor to go to a doctor, and my father knew that it had to be operated on. There had to be an operation. He took me to a store, laid me across a counter, and four men held me down, one in each leg, one on each arm, and without the use of anesthetic, with only a straight-edge razor, they operated.
Ooh.
And so I know how it feels, and I feel that I have a right to write that scene. So I transferred one set of feelings into another situation. And you can do that, too. You can do that. You don't always have to have the experience. But if you've had, for instance, if you've been scared in the night by strange sounds, well, you can put someone out in the woods and have a different noise, although your scaring happened in a bedroom.
But you know authentically what it feels like to be scared.
Sure.
And so you can write those authentic scare feelings.
Sure you can.
Into your story using an entirely different situation.
Yeah, you might like to try that. In fact, there's a fun to it because you kind of create while you're at it. You're not really sticking to the facts, and that's the fun of being a fiction writer.
I've always said, don't spoil the story for the facts.
Right.
And if you want, you know, if you can
sometimes
think of
sometimes the facts just aren't quite good enough.
And sometimes the facts are too good.
Yes, they're not believable.
Because they're not believable. A story will seem contrived if you put in the actual way it happened. You have to tone it down a little bit. Tell me, Bernice, did you always write? Did you start writing as a kid? Was this something you enjoyed when you were young?
No.
Younger?
No, I started writing when I was 40. And I had not written before, nor aspired to write before. In fact, I wasn't quite sure that there was such a thing as writers. I knew there were books, but I never gave anyone credit for writing them.
They were just something that appeared on the library shelves or in the stores. And nobody behind them.
But you know, we were storytellers. We were storytellers from birth. And if you're one in a family of 19 kids, you have to be pretty darn good, otherwise you never get heard. So I had told many stories before I started
writing. Gotten your audience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so you've been writing down these stories. I figure in a family with 19 kids, you're never going to run out of material.
I figure in a world of interesting people, I'm never going to run out of material.
That everybody has a story.
Right. Every single person alive has exciting things happening to them. And if it's, and whatever's happening to you can be terribly exciting, too. If it's not quite exciting enough to please you, make it. You know, just embroider a little bit. Just add a little bit to it and make it exciting.
Well, then you started to write when you were older. What would you have to say to the listeners here about their writing when they're in grade school and junior high? For instance, this morning at breakfast, both your daughter and my daughter announced that they didn't care to write. And why should we, impose writing on kids? What are the values of people listening to this program, writing their stories?
Well, first, I think that your daughter and my daughter have to say that because their mothers are writers. And they wish to be themselves and not their mother's daughters. And that's all right if they want to say that. But I would say to you, write because it's fun. There is one part of writing that's very exciting because it's you. And whatever anyone says about that writing is for you. And sometimes you may luck out, sometimes you may bomb out. But nonetheless, the luck outs are so tremendously exciting that you can kind of forget the bomb outs, you know. So watch, you lose some.
I figure even with the bomb outs, they're worth sticking in a portfolio and saving because there may be a line, there may be an idea that later on you may say, hey, that's something I want to use. You know, the whole mm-hmm. thing wasn't successful, but boy, there's something
good
there. But
in the meantime, this creative thing is a fun thing to do. At the same time, there's hard work that goes into writing, and part of that I've hated, you see, because I wasn't very good in English. I wasn't very good in spelling. And after you've written a few books, you get a little better. You start to know how to spell, you start to know how to write, and I wish I had started that way back in. Can you imagine, as much as I'm doing right now, what if I had started when I was in fifth grade, say? My gosh, I would be rolling the world about now at the age I am. So, gee, I wish I'd had that head start. I think you're lucky.
Tell me what thoughts you could give for the kids listening in today for something to write about. Now, the way I usually conduct the program is I take a topic, and we discuss the topic and read some things out of books, and I give some experiences and so forth. And then mm-hmm. I suggest to the kids, hey, why don't you try writing on this particular topic? Now, today we've been talking about writing, and I can think of one topic, which would be, here are Bernice and I conducting an interview. I'm interviewing Bernice. You could interview somebody, or you could make up an interview and ask pertinent questions. It could be a humorous thing. You could interview your dog on what it's like to be a dog. Mm-hmm. Or you could be somebody coming from interplanetary space and meeting an Earthman and asking the kinds of questions that somebody from a completely different culture might ask, or something like that. So just out of the interview itself, you could create something to write about. But Bernice, let's have some ideas from you on what we could suggest that they write about and
okay.
send into the program.
Can I try something different?
Go ahead. That's why you're here. They might get tired of my old voice all
right.
the time.
Rather than a topic, would all of you right now close your eyes for just a moment? I want you to see something. Do you see an object? Not a live thing, but something that's inanimate, you know, like a vase or an eraser or a pen or whatever you see in your mind. Anything, just anything. Okay, now, would you look around it and back, to the sides, underneath? How does it feel when you touch it? Okay, now there's a person standing close by or maybe have it in their hand or something. This person is feeling very strongly about this. Something about your object is getting them excited. I don't know. You'll have to tell me whether they're happily excited or if they're very sad or if they're scared. Okay, now you have that and you have that feeling. And I want you to have the person say something. Say it with deep feeling. And then you take the story from there and let me see what you come up with. Would you do that?
I've got my story.
Do you have one, Jackie?
I had my picture in my mind. I started with the eraser. But somehow the eraser didn't interest me enough.
Okay.
And so I moved on, but I won't tell you what my story
is
going
to
be until until I write it down. But that's an interesting thing. Try what Bernice has suggested.
Now we'll get all different sort of things this time. There won't be any general topic. We'll have all different sort of...
Starting with imagining an object, imagining a person or something with feelings,
mm-hmm.
relating to that object in a strong way.
Right.
Saying something, and then go on from there. What's going to happen? That sounds great to me. Well, Bernice, this has been lots of fun, and thanks so much for being willing to talk with us here on Reading and Writing on Radio, and when the writings come in, I'll let you see what we get.
All right, it's been a pleasure for me, and happy writing, all of you.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.